Hello, welcome back again. This is Greg Berger along with Rick Moore here on Unfinished Music at msonewsports.com. And today our guest is Orville Giddings. Hello, Orville. How are you doing today?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing great. Why don't you start us off with a tune?
Okay. Well, I might be kind of crazy, but I'm wondering how it feels to be you. Thinking I might like it better being someone else new. Wishing all the time for a jet plane to take me away. Yeah, yeah. Get behind a wheel, tip my hat, say goodbye to yesterday. Well, I've got no choice and I've got no plans. Take each day the way that it comes and think about tomorrow and the dreams I've had. The dreams I've had, they seem to go on. Well, it's a one step, two smile, brown nose, and nasty ass crown. Just a sitting on the head of every lost soul winner around. Me, I'm just a shaking up a tailspin, staying in line. It ain't easy, but it's real, and it's a struggle well worth the time. Well, I've got no choice, got no plans. Take each day the way that it comes and think about tomorrow and the dreams I've had. The dreams I've had, they seem to go on. I used to read the newspaper, followed it every day. But it's the same old thing, just looking for somebody to blame. Now I'm hanging out, just a smiling with the sky and the breeze. No need to look around the corner, cause there ain't nobody messing with me. Well, I've got no choice, got no plans. Take each day the way that it comes and think about tomorrow and the dreams I've had. The dreams I've had, they seem to go home.
Excellent. Is there a story behind that, Jim?
Well, I just came up with the first line, I think, and the rest of it sort of stream of consciousness fell into place. It does. I'm not sure really what it's about. It kind of wanders. There's a few things it's about. I don't know. Certain, like the second verse, words just came together. They're a little silly. but the last verse is fairly obvious what that's about. But you know.
So how do you typically put a song together?
Usually, I'll come up with a chord progression or a little riff that I like, and then I'll try to work off that. Once in a while, a lyric will come to me, and I'll like that one that came from a lyric, as I recall. Mm-hmm. It usually comes from the guitar somehow.
Yeah.
And with an idea, perhaps, what I want to do. You know, I don't have one way that I do it. And I'm not a real prolific songwriter, so when they come.
Right.
You know?
Just take them as they come,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right. I mean, I'd like to have a few more. You know.
It's one of those things where you're when you're too busy and you're.
Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Sorry. That's me. Okay. Why is it still doing that? There we go. I beg your pardon.
No worries.
This is my fault, not Orville's fault. Rick Moore messing things up once again. All right, but I do have the video going, so I just wanted to plug in our audio into the video.
And I didn't dress for the occasion, thinking it was radio.
Face for radio. Yeah.
Well, we have that.
I just came from work, so anyway.
There you go. Well, you know, but that's the plight of the artist, is it not?
Yes.
You know, and you got to create where you can, and that's another story. Now you came from work, so you have
a day job.
Which requires, no matter what you do, it requires attention, it requires focus, it requires your being alert to it. But are there times when you get creative there? I mean, you said you're not a prolific writer, but I'm sure that you're always thinking, not always, but music jumps into your head.
Sure, absolutely. Particularly when I'm doing something that's repetitive. If I'm actually having to think about what I'm doing, it less so.
Right. Okay.
Certainly ideas come and go, and of course what you're supposed to do is quickly record them.
Yeah, which
which doesn't happen all the time.
Easier said than done.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But most of the time it comes from the music. You know, the music's the easy part. The lyrics are the difficult part for me.
When you say that, so what does that mean? Do you hear music in your head? I mean,
yeah, and I just come up with ideas musically with relative ease. Whereas lyrics, I struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I can write stupid stuff, but then you've got to sing it, you know. And then, I mean, there are some great songs that have really insipid lyrics, but. I play them sometimes, but if I'm writing it, I don't think that I couldn't handle that.
Okay.
So it takes it rather particular about my own lyrics. So anyway,
I'm going to smack this computer in about 2 seconds. It's
it'll be live.
It will. Well, they'll be dead after
a live smackdown.
Your name, Orville.
Orville.
That's not a New England name.
Well, it is.
Is it?
I think so. I don't know. I mean, it's a family name.
Mm-hmm.
It's my dad's name, my grandfather's name, and I had a great-great uncle who was also named Orville. So, or a great-great-great uncle, I'm not sure. Anyway, but it's a family name.
Where's the family from originally? You from Massachusetts? Or?
Well, originally, yes. My family came and settled in Ipswich, and George Giddings came to Ipswich in 1635 or something.
Oh, whoa. So, yeah, that's a New England name. Okay. Yeah.
Then his sons left the area. They were all farmers, and they found too many rocks in the soil. So they went for easier places to farm, I guess, from what I understand. And then, interestingly, my father moved back to Ipswich when I was 3 months old, not knowing that that was where his ancestors came
mm-hmm.
from.
Wow.
So it was kind of
complete coincidence,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah,
that's bizarre.
Yeah, it is bizarre. So at any rate, there are houses around Ipswich that George Giddings and his family had, and in Essex as well. Yeah. Giddings Farm in Essex was
That's awesome because what is it? The Stories, and there's another one. Who the boat builder Story and
Burnham.
And Burnham.
Yeah,
they've been in Essex for like 20 generations or so. But your family goes back that far as well.
That's, yeah, and I guess apparently I am actually distantly related to the Stories. Those Stories,
because
there are a couple of different Stories over in Essex.
That's cool. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of stories
in Essex. A lot of stories around this area.
Yeah, for 800 people or whatever is over there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Where'd you go to school? Did you go to school at
Ipswich High School? Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yep. And then took my time getting through college. I got through Berkeley in 11 years. I came and went several times.
I was going to say, you didn't do full-time 11 years, so.
No. Well, yeah, like I say, yeah. No. It took a little while, but I got through.
That's good. I want to get back to that, but.
No, that's great. So, Berkeley, I mean, do you find that to be do you have a good mix between the theoretical part that they you know, I don't want to say forced down your throat, but that you learn at Berkeley versus the more improvisational that you might get from the club scene.
Well, Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I think in terms of the way music theory was taught there all the time. When I teach music, that's how I approach it, and that's how you, I mean, that's how I analyze music and so forth. But at the same time, of course, Berklee is a jazz school, so, you know, improvisation is pretty major there.
Right.
Although...
that's our monitor, sorry.
Okay. So it had,
we're live.
But actually, when I was at school, I was a bass, bass was my instrument. But it was not my major. I majored in production engineering, actually. So,
oh, no. So you're sitting over there just shooting darts, saying, what is this idiot doing? I was a math teacher, okay? So give me some slack.
It's okay. It's all right. So at any rate, yeah, I kept leaving school to go play in a rock and roll band.
Right. Well, we saw that from your bio that you said you played all over the place. So, I mean, what are some of the things you were doing in your travels?
Well, I played around the Boston area a lot, but also I had the opportunity to go overseas and teach for a year at an American school in Cyprus, which was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And I was teaching music and theater actually as well. So I did some playing over there. And then also I lived in St. Thomas for a year and played down there a lot, did a lot of solo stuff down there. And I played out in Colorado and ski country for a year as well. Also doing solo stuff. And actually, I had a band in both those places as well, actually.
Do you ski?
I do. I haven't in years now. It's a little expensive. And with a stepson, we just didn't have the, you know, it's too expensive right now. I'll go back when he's fully funded.
let's sell some songs and we'll go up there next week.
That's right. Sounds great. Sounds great, yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of songs, why don't we hit up one of the recordings? You want to talk a little bit about this project?
Sure. It's a CD that I put out, and now it's rather dated, honestly. And I would like to put another one out soon. But I need to write a few more originals that are not recorded. So I need maybe two or three more, I think, before I release something. But so at any rate, it's from 1996.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to do the first track, that's called My My My.
Mm-hmm.
It was inspired by a girl, I'm sure. I don't remember which one. At any rate, I never play it anymore. It never gets played these days. So I just figured maybe it'd be a nice thing to get it on the air.
Great.
And, there are some background vocals on there. You should know, Susan Tedeschi is on there.
Wow.
And also, the woman who was, Lizzie Borden and the Axes.
Sure.
The lead for that band. I forget her name, but at any rate. So
interesting.
Yeah. So Mom Before Susan was well known. Yeah.
Well, let's give a listen to My My My, and we'll be back shortly.
Why must you be so blind that you can't see what you do to me? Still I try.
All right, we're back. That was My, My, My. And so you were saying you recorded this in Newberry.
Yep, Pine Island Sound. E.J. Ouellette owned the studio, and he still has a studio, and it's now in Byfield, I believe. And great guy.
So the reason you don't do that one live is because of the production? Because that's really cool. And I hold your answer for a second. Yeah. But it reminds Southern Rock. I can't quite put my finger on it, but
yeah, it's a little bit, a little bit like that. Yeah, I don't know really. You know, it just sort of evolved that way. Also, I think that I originally didn't have all that slide guitar in it. That was EJ playing the slide guitar on that actually, and Ken Clark played the organ on that actually, as I recall. Anyway, but you need the background vocals. It's a big part of the way the song finishes. And so if you don't have those, which I don't typically, although I suppose I could have the horn players do it. Now, you know, with the band, I have horn players in that band.
Because it's a nice ass kicker. I like that.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of rocking.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, it's kind of funny. There's my tunes that are on there are fairly different from the cover tunes. Because at the time, I was really just playing a lot of blues in the band. It was a blues band, and harmonica, bass, and drums, and guitar. And so my originals didn't really line up with that, which was pointed out to me by a fellow who was working for Rounder Records at the time. He said, "Well, it's good stuff, but it's kind of disjointed. It's all over the place."
Explain that. Does that mean that you have to be pigeonholed? You have to have certain things at certain times?
Well, because most of the cover tunes on it are all are blues tunes, I mean, they're different style blues tunes, but the originals on it are not really that bluesy. One of them's a little bluesy.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, they're more rockin', mm-hmm. And so forth. So I think that's what he was referring to, which is fine,
All right, well, you want to hit us up with another live song? You want something that's rocking, not disjointed?
This one is a sad song, a tragic song. and I don't play this one very often live either because I do it occasionally when I'm playing solo, but because it's kind of dirge-like, I call it the dirge. I like to play songs live that are a little bit more uplifting.
Good.
But anyway, it's a pretty song. It was inspired by a true event in Ipswich that happened, and I sort of looked ahead in the future to the fellow who survived the tragedy, and how he might exist 40 years after. So he's a little off. In real life, he's not actually. But anyway, here we go. This is called what the heck's it called? Well, it's in the lyric. You'll get it. Tried so hard to make a life without you. Just can't stop my last picture of you. 'Cause every morning as I wake up, bluntly my hand and my heart, knife in hand, cuts my heart in half and you come back to me. Yeah, you come visiting me. I know that you're near, but I know there's no way to take back the tears till it's my dying day. Nothing to say, nothing comes out. Deal with the pain day in and out. Babies are gone, 1, 2, 3. I wait for the end and I'm beginning to see. back to me. Yeah, you. Just wait and you'll see what a man can do in 40 years with a dead heart and a broken mind and only his life to lose. Nothing to say, nothing comes out. Deal with the pain day in and out. Babies are gone, one, two, three. I wait for the end and I'm beginning to see you coming back to me. Yeah, you and the love taken from me.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
And I have to cough, so excuse me.
Well, I just went to a funeral yesterday. And I'm not going to say anything funny or cute because that was awesome. Very, very nice. Very nice. I think that resonates on a lot of levels, and it doesn't have to be, you know what, it doesn't have to be a tragedy to connect with that.
No, I hope not. I mean, it's just about, you know, how people end up after, you know, something happens, whether, mm-hmm. I suppose, whether it's good or bad, but, and, you know, just looking ahead and imagining what it might be like. So... I sort of, that song sort of, I don't know, is a little Neil Young involved in that.
Yeah,
one, I think.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. You know. I think that's what I was thinking of with the previous song, too.
I suppose that's true, yeah.
Or, on My, I think it was. When we get back to Berkeley for a second there, the technology and so on.
Hmm.
A little different now from what it was when you were there.
Yes, I was splicing tape.
Yeah. and I don't think people understand, first of all, what tape means, but the splicing aspect, and that would, the old mixing and so on, describe the difference now. I mean, do you play multiple instruments when you record yourself?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, I've got the equivalent of Pro Tools on my computer at home, and I do demos for myself and some of my students. And yeah, it's, you know, it's completely different. Although, you know, I mean, there's something to be said for a 24 track, 2-inch, you know, you know, and then you are limited to that, right? You don't have all these virtual tracks and stuff, yep. You know, and all these huge multiple takes of it. And so it's different. I mean, it's almost like you have to be more focused and so forth to put it all together when you're doing it with tape, you know?
I have a friend who, Dave Adams, used to be the music director at Gloucester High School, and he has some tapes that Hal Blaine gave him. You know, have you heard of Hal Blaine?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Hal Blaine is the most prolific drummer for number one records in history, and he played all the number one records for the Beach Boys. But Hal Blaine gave him some demo tapes of the Beach Boys when they were putting together Pet Sounds.
Ah.
And I've listened to some of those, and... comparing or contrasting how they're laying down tracks, you know, and you can hear who's the head guy there?
Wilson.
Brian
Wilson. You hear him stopping and let's go to bar 17 and do this. But the intricacy of trying to record, hold on to the tracks and mix it together. And now, I mean, here I am sitting here with this cheap computer broadcasting a live video. It must make the process a lot easier, I would think.
In certain regards, it does, yeah.
But not in others?
Well, I mean, it's harder to decide when to say that's the one.
Ah.
You've got too many options.
At some point, you have to say, that's it, I'm done.
Yeah, right. You have to say, you know, you don't have a choice. You have to say, okay, this is what we got,
mm-hmm.
You know? And also, it requires, you know, obviously it requires a greater musicianship in many cases, you know. I mean,
Yeah.
I mean, you can redo a take, but I mean, you know, just to pop little notes in here and do auto tune and all this. No, it's different.
Right.
It's different.
And just to repeat what we said here on the show before, this is an auto tune free zone at a finished
music. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, and just a little reminder, station identification. This is Greg Berger along with Rick Moore on Unfinished Music at msonewsports.com with our guest today, Orville Giddings. So, again, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You said your students, now you're teaching?
I give lessons.
Mm-hmm.
I've been giving lessons for about 20 years now or so. Mostly guitar players and bass players. I have trombone students once in a while. I used to play trombone. That was actually what I was admitted to Berkeley for initially.
Wow.
Was trombone. It's fun. You know, I enjoy teaching. It's nice. Although there is a lot more competition now than there used to be.
Well, Rick did 40 years of teaching, right? You paid your debt to society.
and I'm still teaching teachers.
That's
still
right.
Paying the price.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, why don't we hit up one of the recordings? Say Hello was another tune you wanted us to cover?
Sure. Say Hello, yeah.
Okay, so coming up is Say Hello. What's the name of the album again? Sorry.
It's called Enhance Your Smile.
Enhance Your Smile. I don't have my computer open to cheat. Ross? We're back, and that was Say Hello. And during the break, we were talking about analog versus digital recording, and I found out that Orville uses the same program that I have, and I'm going to give a shout-out to them. It's called Reaper. All of you folks out there that think Pro Tools is the greatest, if you like spending $1,000 for a program, it probably is. But if you want to spend a lot less, like $60, take a look at Reaper.
Online.
I think they're a Finnish company. It's a .fn. I think that's one of those Scandinavian nations, but... Great program. Does everything you need to do.
Yeah, it's a subscription program, so it's all online.
Okay, enough of that stuff. Let's get back to Orville stuff. Say hello, Bluesy. Tell me about how you got into the blues as a young man.
I was more growing up in junior high and high school. I was more into, you know, Beatles, Rolling Stones, and Santana, and Grateful Dead, and also I've always been listening to jazz, a lot of jazz. My favorite first record was Charlie Parker, The Verve Years. I've sort of memorized all his solos on that album. I could sing them all. I can't play them. that would be something, but I can sing them. So, you know, I listened to, and then also growing up, my parents were big into classical music, so I listened to a lot of that as well.
So you mentioned another instrument.
Trombone.
And have you participated in a jazz event with a trombone? Because that lends itself to more than anything.
Not since I was in high school.
Is that right?
Yeah, not since I was in high school or the beginning of college. I pulled it out once in a while just for fun.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I've had a few beginning students on occasion, because I can help them out, but I'm not, because I don't play it really anymore. I'm really, you know, they go off to somebody who really plays shortly after they see me. I mean, I love the trombone. You know, it's a cool instrument. Although, you know, I don't use trombone players in my band. I use trumpet and saxophone.
There you go. I've been watching what's it called, Mozart in the Jungle. Lately. Have you seen that?
No,
it's on Amazon.
Okay.
And it's about it follows the storyline of a young woman who wants to get into the New York Symphony, and she plays oboe. But the all the instruments that they bring in and the music, it's just fascinating to see. I'm fascinated by someone who has talent and coordination and can do that, and I always admire that. Tell me about a gig that you went. I love asking. Is it all right now?
Go ahead. It's perfect timing.
Talk to me. tell me about a gig that either weirded you out, or you remember that's really cool, or something that you had really fun, or something that went weird. You know, something that stands out, because we get people in here and they've got stories that I can't even. You know, it's unbelievable that these things happen and they survive, or that they still remember. Have you got something that stands out?
I'm sure that there are some gigs that probably would stand out in the negative or in some weirdness, but I'd have to think about that for a while. I don't think about those. I mean, some good ones.
Yeah, the good ones are the yeah.
Yeah, the good ones are the, you know, playing at the Castle. When we play at the Castle every year, it's always notable for me, because it's our biggest show. You know, mm-hmm. It's my biggest show. I mean, and so that when it goes really well, last year went really well. It's amazing what rehearsal will do.
How about that, huh?
You know, I mean, because that doesn't happen very often. Rehearsal, that is. I suppose, let's see.
Well, for me, it's a kind of thing like I will be walking down Main Street, for example, or maybe see someone coming along the other way, and the person will come up to me and say, "Mr. Moore, remember so-and-so?" And I won't, and he'll say, "Well, I was in your class in such-and-such, and I remember," and it brings a smile to my face, something as small as that. But when you're performing, you must have the positive feedback.
Oh, sure.
Has to re-energize you and make you keep
absolutely
going
well,
at it.
Well, you know, you mentioned that sort of scenario. That happens frequently, where I've either played somebody's wedding and of course I don't remember. I'll remember once they clue
sure,
me in,
sure.
I'll remember, but you know, they've seen me in a band doing something somewhere a long time ago, and I'll, you know, of course that's wonderful. I mean, you know, when I think about that, I think about different bands I've been in, because I've been in a lot of different kinds of bands. I mean, I was in a punk band, I was in, you know, and now I'm playing bluegrass, and I'm playing, you know, I mean, so there's all kinds of different things, you know. So they're all, you know, every gig's got its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly when you don't always have the same players with you, you know. I don't know, when I was in that rock cover band, though, that was a lot of fun. That we had fun at every gig.
Excellent. Are there people, and I guess the sports analogy, we've heard it a few times in there, but are there people that you play with that you make them sound better, or vice versa?
I'll say that I'm fortunate enough to, you know, play with some really great players, and I say that they make me sound better. because they back me up, and I'm free to sing and play the way I feel comfortable, because I know that my ass is covered. Mm-hmm. You know, so that, you know, when you've got a comfortable group and you trust them, that's when you know.
Have you done that for others?
I like to think so.
Okay, so, well, you know, no, but it's funny. It's like when you're playing a sport and you're playing hockey and you get an assist instead of a goal. Sometimes that feels pretty damn good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So when you're on stage and you're making someone else feel comfortable, that must feel good too.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you say that, because, I mean, I'm the front man most of the time, you know. And I have been for a long time. It's been a long time since I was sort of a sideman. And I like being a sideman, because then you just have your job to do, and that's cool, you know. I have no problem with that. I really would like to start a new band where I am not the front man.
Really?
It's not my name involved.
Really?
with the title of the band, yeah. And I just want to be part of the band, you know. Mm. That was one of the reasons I think I liked that rock band, because I wasn't the only singer, and it was really sort of a group effort. And so now, I mean, I do get to that nowadays when I play with Alan Estes quite frequently, and I back him up and he backs me up. And so when I'm backing him up and he's doing really something awesome on a tune that I sing, but then he does the solo on, it just makes the whole thing come together, you know? And so it's a fun little thing we do.
And I did have the pleasure of seeing you guys at the Rumline the night I met you. So, right. It was an excellent show. Yeah. And for those out there who are looking for somebody for your side to be a sideman in your band, you just heard that. We've got somebody looking here, so contact us at Unfinished Music. We'll set you up.
What do you have coming up?
Actually, I'm playing tomorrow night. I'm playing at the Ipswich Brewery, at a place actually that I booked the music for. So I'm playing Thursday night with Alan, actually, and with a percussionist who was the drummer in that rock band.
All right.
Kemp Dunn is his name.
Old times.
He's from Beverly. And so that'll be fun. And then I think, let's see, what's going on after that? We've got, let's see, where am I? That's that. And then I guess, and then he and I are hosting an open mic in Salem next Wednesday at the VFW with Julie Doherty.
For the millennials who are listening, by the way, Orville is looking at his phone and he's thumbing through his phone where everything is on there.
No, I'm not. I was thinking of that when I went to retrieve this from the car. It's my book.
It's a paper phone, yeah.
Next month I've got a couple of things. I do things for the brewery special events they have. They're doing a cask and clam event on the 13th, and that's in Ipswich. That's going to be an acoustic thing. I've got an acoustic quartet for that. And then the following night, I'm playing a Newburyport at Glenn's with an electric group. Dave is not playing on that one. Anyway, I do a solo gig on the 20th at Zoomies in Ipswich. That's a coffee shop. And then I'm at the Rumline the 21st. And then 7 Central on the 27th of May.
Excellent.
So, anyway, there's a few things going on.
Yeah, that's super.
The brew house, you mentioned they have, at the gig, you're going to have a percussionist. Can they accommodate a drum set, or is it?
Not really.
Okay.
The room is, room's really live.
Okay.
You're right in the middle of a lot of people. So percussion, it's basically sticks hitting cymbals are a real problem.
Right, right.
And snare drums. So we have acoustic groups, it's doing well. We've got all kinds of people, some folks from Gloucester coming through, some folks from Boston coming up, and so forth. And so far, there's only been a couple of acts which were a little questionable.
Yeah.
Everybody else has been really good, and we've had good feedback so far. So
excellent.
Yeah.
Do you want to hit us up with another live song?
Sure. All right. This is And as with all of them, they're all true songs. All true stories.
So here's another true story from Old Giddings here on Unfinished Music.
This one's called Drive All Day.
Hey, hey, it's been so long since I've seen you, girl. And I know you're the best one in the whole wide world. Well, since we fell in love about a month ago, we've been loving and loving, don't wanna ever let go. Well, it's a sad situation that I've got to explain. There's just too many miles to see you every day. Well, it don't seem fair for a love so true to have to drive so far to be alone with you. Now I'm singing to the world with all my might. Hey, well, I drive all day to see my baby tonight. In my dreams, girl, it's you and me, girl, just making a house and never going out. To my dreams seem too unreal, too far out of this world, my girl. Well, I may be out of line, I'm here losing my mind. You and me, girl, just making a house and never going out. Do my dreams seem too unreal, too far out into the world, my girl? I may be out of line, I'm here losing my mind. Well, you're a fine, fine woman in every way, and it makes me so happy just to see your face. Well, and it makes me feel something I can't describe when you love me like a lion with a soul on fire. And I'm singing to the world with all my might. I said I'd drive all day to see my baby tonight. Drive Drive all day to see my baby tonight. I drive all day. Well, I drive all day. Drive all day. Drive all day. Drive all day.
Wow. Excellent.
All right.
Excellent guitar work.
Ooh, yeah. Well, that was awesome.
There were a few bad notes at the end there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I noticed them. Yeah, right.
Nobody would have known it.
You got into that. That's cool. So when you play cover songs and stuff, you like doing the rocking? I mean, do you do lead guitar, rhythm, or what?
Oh, sure. Absolutely, yeah.
Because you get into that.
Yeah, well, it's sometimes the problem is, I try to play the acoustic guitar like an electric. That's the problem, and the electric is much easier to play.
Is it? Now,
it's much easier to play leads on.
Oh, okay.
So it's a different thing. So you really have to approach the acoustic guitar differently. So normally I play that on an electric. So it's one of those things. That's a little...
when you do electric and you go rock, is there a particular band style song that you really get into, or just whatever?
As far as improvisation goes, particularly on the electric, I mean, I know all these rock songs and I've played them all and so forth and so on. But when it comes to the improvisation thing,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't the kind of player who went and learned all the licks, right? So like in blues in particular, there is a catalog of specific blues licks that come from, all the way from Robert Johnson through whoever. I mean, mm-hmm. And so, you know, blues players, they learn all that. It's a vocabulary of all these riffs. And then you use pieces of them and string them together and so forth and so on. So somebody like Stevie Ray Vaughan, you know, is master of all those different kinds of blues licks from everybody. I mean, he really synthesized those things from all those guys and just was just so talented at getting them all out. And other people, you know, because somebody like Freddie King has a certain sound. Somebody like Slim Harpo has a certain sound. I mean, they and it's, and so when you're able to use all those different voices, you can come up with some amazing stuff. And then when you're talking about rock and roll stuff, I mean, if you some people, they cop the solos exactly from, you know, Joe Perry or something.
Right.
Like that, and learn that. And so I've never really done that.
What I was going to ask, yeah.
So, I mean, I maybe get an essence of it. But in general, I think that my lead playing tends to be less riff-oriented and more melodic-oriented. Mm-hmm. And I think that comes from the light of the jazz that I listen to.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, because when I studied music many, many, many years ago, I couldn't do the improv. I couldn't do ad lib. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. And so when you're playing someone else's music, and you know there's a certain a certain solo
section,
to it,
yeah.
But then you can go off and do your own thing.
Right.
Yeah, that sounds cool. I like that.
Yeah. Well, you sound like my sister cannot improvise to save her life, but she can read like nobody's business. she's a classical player,
classical guitar.
No, she plays bassoon.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, speaking of guitars, I see you've got a nice Guild there. Is that, have you had that for a while? Looks like it's road worn.
Pretty beat up, you mean?
Yeah, but it's like it's been well loved.
Yes. Yeah. I've got this. I guess I got this in 80. It's a 77, and I got it in 83 or 84, just before I went over to Cyprus. Actually, I traded a Rickenbacker baseboard. I saw you have one of those here.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway.
Wait, what was Cyprus?
Cyprus?
What was that?
Remember I told you I taught school over in Cyprus.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So, no, I think I was struggling with all my stuff over here that you were making fun. You weren't making fun of me. Thank you.
No.
But you could have.
So it's old, but it's like a tank. It sounds good and it feels good. So it's like part of me, you know.
it's just hard for me to believe you traded a Rick, because that Rick is part of me. But that's another story.
Yep. Well,
for your needs at the time,
I needed an acoustic. Yeah. You know, and I didn't have a good one. So, and I had another bass, as I recall. So, you know, it was one of those things.
When you're getting ready to do a gig or come here or sing or anything like that, are there again, going back to sports, in sports you have calisthenics to do. You have calisthenics that you do?
Oh, absolutely. And never enough. never enough. I've been to play every day, the guitar, and I have certain exercises I do that I always get those in first and then, you know, then play songs. But scales on the guitar in particular, lots of scales, for exercises. Just playing songs, learning songs, writing, you know, whatever. For vocals, I do have definitely some vocal exercises I use, and they sound very funny.
Excuse me.
But I took some coaching from Jackie Chambers for a while, some years ago. I gave her guitar lessons, and she gave me vocal coaching. So, and she's an amazing vocalist, and so she gave me some exercises that I use regularly now, and for warm-up and for repair, if I've sung too loud one night, you know, to help repair the voice the next day, you know.
Can you do night after night after night? Is that something that is done?
It is, yeah. It is? But you need to be in shape. Your vocal cords are muscles. You got them in shape. You got to have them in shape. Mm-hmm. So it means paying attention to those exercises and doing them, keeping your voice strong. And then, you know, and obviously you don't want to mistreat it, and you know that's. You know, if you're singing every night, you can't. If you're singing every night, only if you're young can you be smoking and drinking.
I was going to say, smoking and booze doesn't go good for the old throat.
No, it doesn't. So you know, that's why people who sing professionally all the time generally avoid that, and staying hydrated, obviously.
Yeah. What's the longest you've been without playing?
Well, funny you should ask. The beginning of December last year, I had rotator cuff surgery
And oh, that's right.
So I did not play the guitar for a month, really. And then even after the next month, I didn't play very much at all because it would hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to do exercises just here where I didn't have to move my hand because I was in for 2 months. I just couldn't move my arm, you know. So basically, that was the most time I went from without playing.
And what was it like coming back? I mean, you know,
it was again, hard.
Was it harder or easier than you expected?
I didn't know. I had no idea what it was going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my calluses.
Right. Okay.
And I mean, and not entirely, because I think that if I had really lost them, it would have taken much longer to get them back. But dexterity, very frustrating. Strength. And, but then because I wasn't working, when I was able to start playing again, I was able to spend a fair amount of time playing. So I was able to get back to where I wanted. So it took basically 3 months before I was performing again. I took the third month I started practicing, basically. So
on the DL for 3 months, that ain't bad.
It's funny because when we first met and I asked if you could do the show, he says, well, I'm going to be getting surgery soon. So.
Oh, that's right. It was last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and so
right.
Here we are, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 months later. And
yeah, right.
So sounds like you worked yourself back in. So
pretty much,
good,
yeah.
Looking good. Yeah. Sounded good. Do you think we could squeeze another live song before we go out for the night?
Sure. This one is called Poor Boy. Alan calls this the Good and Plenty song. I end up singing pretty loud on this one. He's a poor boy and a simple boy, wears his heart upon his sleeve. A poor boy and a simple boy, wears his heart upon his sleeve. But if you catch him being a man, he will make you believe. Well, he's a man when he sings for you, and his world comes tumbling out. He's a man when he sings for you, and his world comes tumbling out. Is he a man when he sings the blues? Too young to know what it's about. Well, give him high hopes and laughter, give him sorrow or give him shame. Give him guilt or anger, or a welcome kiss, he'll take the blame. But if you give him a broken heart, he'll keep singing just the same. Give him shame, give him guilt, or give him anger, or a welcome kiss, he'll take the blame. But if you give him a broken heart, he'll keep singing just the same. Well, he's a poor boy and a simple boy, wears his heart upon his sleeve. A poor boy and a simple boy wears his heart upon his sleeve. But if you catch him being a man, he will make you believe.
Love it.
Right.
Love it.
Channeling the king on that one.
There you go. I had to get away from that microphone. I knew you were going to kill that, man.
You're in the red over here. You're in the red. That's
I'm
cool.
I'm sure I was.
No, excellent.
You know what I like is I love the way when I don't look at what you're playing, is it sounds like there are two guitars through here. So I don't know how you guys do that, but that's awesome.
No, it's, yeah.
I know. It's probably what you're supposed
to
do.
I'm playing two parts.
That's incredible.
You know, it's basically you're mimicking the kick drum
mm-hmm.
and the snare drum.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So, sound like the drums are on there, and then you got the guitar. And when I close my eyes and just listen, it's like, how many people are playing? It's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Well, thank you.
Lots of good stuff for the whole show. So thank you so much, Orville, for joining us today. This is Orville Giddings here on Unfinished Music. I'm Greg Berger along with Rick Moore at msonewsports.com. So thank you.
You didn't get a commitment from him to come back sometime.
Oh, would you like to come back sometime?
Oh, sure.
We've got something else planned. We'll talk to you off the air about
it. We'll warn you about the video next time. So you
wear your tuxedo.
Yeah.
Right. So we're going to go out on So Sorry. So let me just do some housekeeping while Rick cues that up. Coming up next in May, to be determined the date, it'll be a special time, an 8 p.m. show. We'll have Tony Goddess. And then we have my band, the Black Sheep Stampede, on May 31st, and the guest host will be Alan Estes, filling in for me. And then on our one-year anniversary, we'll have our first guest we had 1 year ago to the day on June 15th, Dan King, and we're going to be making a special announcement about something we've got planned on August 27th. So save the date for August 27th. More to come on that. So again, thanks, Orville.
Thank you.
Hope to have you back soon.
So sorry. I've been messing around with my life. Well, I'm so sorry, baby.
So sorry.
No, I might face the truth tonight. But it's messing up me,
messing up you.
And that's a sad. See you.